The Cappuccino Podcast brought to you in association with Tactical Solutions. For all your tactical solutions, check them out at www.tactical.co.nz.
It's that time again, so grab yourself a cup of joe
and get ready for the Cappuccino with Constable Brian.
My guest today, Andrew Hay, New Zealand under 18, under 20, Ice Black rep, Spotley Swarm, 2021-22 MVP, right-handed shooter, defenceman, born Auckland, New Zealand. He's been the longest reigning captain in the NZIHL. He's been with Botany Swarm and lifted the Burgle Cup four times, which for our Canadian listeners is the semi-equivalent to the Stanley Cup, I guess you'd say. That'd be fair, eh, Andy? He's won the gold, silver, bronze at World Championships, best D-man and most penalised player, respect, 18 years in the NZIHL since its inception, and he's the only person to play over 250 plus games in the league. Six of his seven siblings have played hockey. He's a dad and his uncle, and he's also was the first goal scorer for the Auckland Marco. So there you go, all that and then some. All right, yeah. So let's go for a speed round. So pop quiz hot shot. How many books have you read this year, Andy?
None. I've been too busy with the young fella and a bit of work and a little bit of hockey. So yeah, I do enjoy reading, but haven't managed to. Sorry, it's a quick round. I've got to answer it quickly. So the answer is none.
You're a good. Favourite movie quote?
Probably from Dumb and Dumber, where he walks out of the 7-Eleven. He says, "Big gulps up. Well, see you later."
The sports person that is the greatest of all time, no argument in your mind, is who?
Greatest sportsman, I would probably have to say Lionel Messi.
Ooh, there you go. Okay, favourite flavoured ice cream?
Salted caramel.
Whee. Weirdest or dumbest injury that you've ever suffered?
Weirdest or dumbest?
Either or.
Either or. Dumbest, probably a few months ago, where I busted my shoulder just racing for a puck and slid into the boards and thought I was done for a long, long time. Luckily, it wasn't as bad, but yeah, that was pretty dumb.
Well, good. If you had an entrance song, as lots of the NHL players do, what would yours be?
Oh, it'd be probably something a bit hip-hoppy. Maybe go with the Wu-Tang Clan or Nas.
Nice.
Given that they're playing in Auckland next week, looking forward to that.
Right. One sport you look at and you just go, no, I'd rather watch paint dry rather than watch that.
Probably lawn bowls.
There you go. Okay, right. So the Hay family name is pretty well known in the hockey community in New Zealand, but where does the love affair with hockey start for the family and how? Because, look, let's be honest, hockey or ice hockey is a bit of a rarity in New Zealand, to be fair. So where does your family's love affair with it start?
We grew up in Lynfield, which is sort of west, central west Auckland. Pretty close to the Avondale ice rink, funnily enough.
Yeah,
we saw Mighty Ducks when we were kids on the TV, like the vast majority of people that picked it up in this era of the world did. And I had a couple of brothers that actually played before me. I didn't start till I was quite late, 11 or 12 years old. We were right into rollerblading. We had a roller, sort of a skateboard ramp down the road. So my brother and I were on the street most nights playing against each other one-on-one, and kind of really went from there and signed up for ice hockey at Avondale and, yeah, fell in love with it.
What was the reaction of your mates at school? Because, I mean, look, let's be honest, I used to play Gaelic football, Irish football for New Zealand, and I can remember spending half of my sort of teenage years trying to explain it to people and everything else. Was it the same for you? What was the reactions amongst your mates about it? Ice hockey?
Oh, just a lot of surprise. I think that, well, most of them know that there are ice rinks here, but obviously it's a fairly small sport.
Yeah.
So not massively surprised. I was no good at any sort of mainstream sport, even though I really wanted to be. Just didn't quite have the skills or the athleticness. But yeah, luckily ice hockey came along and you're really enjoying it. And yeah, people still I catch up with that I haven't seen for a long time are still saying, he's still playing. And he's still playing, still enjoying it, still fortunate enough to get out there most weeks. So
I've got to ask you this question, and it's not even in my list of questions, but do you get the oh, when you take the pads off and everything else, gee whiz, he's lost lots of weight, or he's a lot skinnier than I thought he was going to be.
On the
odd occasion. Okay. What's the number of times you've said to somebody, oh yeah, ice hockey or hockey, and either been mistaken for a black stick, or somebody says to you, oh, you guys play ice hockey in New Zealand?
Well, it doesn't happen so much in New Zealand. Most people are actually aware of what goes on in society.
Yeah, exactly.
But every time we travel overseas, particularly North America, Europe, I mean, they're really surprised that we have hockey down here.
Yeah.
But usually, we do get all the varieties of, oh, you play in the black sticks, you play in the black ferns, the black, the ice blacks, the black ice. The ice blacks. Yeah.
Yeah, trying to find a picture of Andy Hay without the number 13 on is quite difficult. What's the significance of your number?
I honestly don't really know. I think it might have just been the first number that I was given when I was just playing for a club junior team when I was 10 or 11 years old. Some people say it's unlucky, but maybe it was just a bit of a... Well, if it's unlucky for a lot of them, it might be a bit better for me. I can't exactly pinpoint why. It's not a massively significant number in my life, but it might have just come down to a bit of luck when I was younger.
And do you subconsciously go towards it now, or if somebody says to you, hey, look, I'll give you the number 33?
Well, it's quite funny because I played a summer league a few years back and I was a rookie for the first time in a while. And a guy that had been on the team, he had the rights to number 13 and I just had to have whatever was left. So I think I wore number 7 or something like that.
It's halfway there. So at some stage, just about all of the Hay family has had something to do with hockey, right? What do you do to switch off from the game when everything's settled and everything? I know that you're now a new dad and you're juggling stuff and everything else, but before that, what did you do to switch off from the game?
I just think, well, obviously hockey's, it's not a profession, it's just a part-time, it's almost like a hobby for us, but we take it very seriously.
Yeah.
Switching off from it, probably not as important as, if it was our day-to-day job. I actually sometimes I switch off from work and think about hockey the other way around to get through the working day. But, I mean, obviously life's very busy and, young family and, career and all those sorts of things. So, it's certainly not a problem for me to, just shut off from the rink for, a few days and then come back to the rink refreshed and ready to go.
Now, your dad, Grant, was the president of the Auckland Ice Hockey Association and the NZIHF for many years.
You've done your homework.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, that's what I do, yeah. Right. Did that make it kind of awkward for you as a player when you were either getting into conflict or getting disciplined on the ice or something else like that? Or was it, hell no, I'll just get on with it?
Not too difficult. a few comments over the years on the ice, but like my dad always said, if anyone ever thought there was any of that, he would be more than happy for us to get cut.
If he didn't
think we were good enough. So he's been gone out of the management scene for quite a while now, and I'm still around. So hopefully it had a little bit more to do with ability than anything else.
Yeah.
But I was just really happy that he got involved, and he was so passionate. He never played it. I think he ice skated once when he was about 18 or 19. So he was just purely a supportive dad who got into management, wanted to help out, had a bit of time that he can contribute, and decided to, commit many years to it. So, you've got to give him a bit of credit for that. And, any volunteers in our game, it's voluntary, and, it's a big effort, and you don't get a lot of reward, but what you do is you get a bit of satisfaction seeing your kids out there or seeing the team do well.
Yeah. When you look back at your career, and I'm going to use the term veteran, all right?
I say that.
You look at somebody in the NHL when they're sort of 34, 35, and I know that you're just shy of that, or just a little bit further on, they're referred to as a veteran, right? When you look back in your mind, what's been the career highlight, if you could say anything?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I know. And it's always that thing of, oh, just one single incident from a career that's lasted like 25 plus years. It's like...
Oh, if I have to pick one moment or one tournament or time, it's got to be Melbourne 2011.
Yep.
So the Ice Blacks, we went over there with a bit of expectation. We were certainly hoping to stay up in the division. We ended up getting a couple of wins that people didn't think we were going to get, and you know, we were pretty happy with that, coming away with a silver medal in Division 2 at that time.
Yeah.
When they weren't split up in A and B, it was, you know, that was even harder to achieve. And, you know, I think that was probably the pinnacle of my, certainly my international career, and possibly, well, we'll see, there's still a bit
That was way up there.
Yeah.
So after 72 games and a career that spans over 15 years for the Ice Blacks, you pull the pin on your international career, right? How did you know, because lots of people make this mistake, how did you know it was time to, one, call it a day, and two, were you tempted to hang on for 100 games? Because, I mean, it's like, whoa, hang on here. And we've all seen it, you know, people who just stay on just that little bit too long, and it's not embarrassing, but, you know, you sort of, you start to see them not be able to quite get to the puck fast enough, or they take a hit and get sat on their rear end, and it's like, man, if you'd done that 10 years ago, you would have gone through the boards, but now it's sort of kind of reverse. So how did you know it was time to hang it up from the international game?
Oh, I think it was probably the second or third day that I was on my last trip, and I was just, you know, I was training, but I was thinking about what's happening at home, what's happening with work. That's when I kind of thought, maybe my priorities have changed. I don't think it was anything in particular to do with the, you know, the ice hockey side of things. I've always enjoyed that and found that I, you know, have been able to compete throughout the years. And, you know, it's, you know, I've been there a long time, and I think it was just time to do something different. And, you know, spending a month away from the family was probably the hardest thing to do. And then obviously, with, you know, when your career gets more, you know, more important to you, and, you know, taking a month off to hang out with the lads overseas probably becomes less and less important. So I think, and I just felt that there were a good young batch of players coming through, and you know, wanted to support them all the way that I could, you know, from the stands now. So yeah, I thought the timing was right. Didn't know that there was going to be a pandemic around the corner, which meant that we wouldn't be playing for 3 years. But I thought it was the right time, and happy where I'm at.
Now, you're the first player to play 250 NZHIL games, right? So before I ask you, what do you put your longevity down to give you some idea and put that in perspective, do you know how many games of Super Rugby Richie McCaw played?
So they play probably 15 or 16 a year, and he played for 10 or 11, maybe 12, maybe 13 or 14 years. So he might be like somewhere between 150 or 200.
Not bad, 145.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so you've done like...
Oh, I had a few concussions.
Yeah. So what do you put your longevity down to, though? Because, I mean, that's a heck of a lot of time. If it was a really easy feat to do, let's be honest, there'd be like an elites club in the NZIHL, but at the moment there's only one AA. So what do you put it down to? Luck?
Probably a lot of things, like, you know, a bit of luck. You know, the league started when I was 18 or 19, so mm-hmm. just being there from a relatively young age. Just being fortunate with flexibility in my career and support from whoever my employers were at the time.
Yep.
Throughout it, to, you know, in terms of going away on weekends and, you know, leaving early for trainings during school holidays or whatever it may be. But ultimately, it's probably just I really, really enjoy it.
Yep.
It's good fun. You know, the hockey's part of it. Hanging out with the team is a big, big part of it. So I think just having a love for the game and, like you say, taking those breaks to get away and just not... I never travelled overseas and played, you know, a 40-game season or anything like that.
Yep.
And sort of maybe you might lose a bit of passion for it. I never had that. So, I've always been rearing to go for the National League season. And it's, you know, like I say, it's I just enjoy every season, every game. And coming to the point that I am now, it's, you know, just you try to enjoy it even more because you're not sure how many more you got in you.
Yeah. Now, that is definitely something that you see from the stands, is that you quite clearly having, I know there's a serious side as well, but you are quite clearly having fun, whether you're bouncing pucks off yours truly's head behind the glass at the goals at the Marco game. Or
that
something.
That was an accident. I meant to get the goal.
But, you know, there's definitely an aspect of fun to it. Do you put it down to just the fact that, like you've said, you know, it's passion, it's part-time, it's something you've done since you're 18. There's not many people in the world, though, who have started something at the ripe old age of 12, and then now where you are and are still as passionate about it. What do you put it down to? Is it just the fact that you can, I'm not going to say it's a hobby, because I don't, well, you might say it is, but I don't think it is. But it's just, do you think it's just the fact that you genuinely just love the game?
Yeah, I think so. And it's not just, I mean, myself, like I've always tried to help the game as much as I can. When I was younger, I used to do a lot of coaching.
Yeah.
And, you know, coaching club, junior, under 16 national team.
Yeah.
For a few years there as well. And then I just basically couldn't do both. But that's something I'm keen to get back into.
Yeah.
So I'm always keen to develop and help players as much as I can. It's not just about me going out there. And, you know, hopefully the guys that I play with would attest to that, that, you know, I'm always trying to help those around me sort of, you know, just with my sort of coaching eye, I think, in terms of helping their development. And just being involved with Auckland Mako the last couple of seasons is probably a bit of a new spring in the step in terms of a different team, a different environment, different objective.
Yeah.
All about development, all about working hard and having fun. So, yeah, that's probably what's kept me going and just make sure I get most enjoyment out of it is seeing others move up the ranks and all the kids that I coached when I was, you know, early mid-20s, and now I'm competing against them in the National League talking smack. It's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah, welcome to my policing career.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So superstitions or routines before a game. I saw an interview where you said that you, after you finish a game, you like to sort of sit there and have a wee think and everything else. See, I have done my own week, about the game and everything else afterwards. Do you have any superstitions or routines that you go through or not? Or things that you don't judge as a superstition, but everybody else would look at them and go, that's a superstition, Andy?
Nothing massively.
Yep.
Just making sure I have, if it's a late game, I have to have a nap. Even though I never ever fall asleep, I still have to have a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure I eat, I think it's 4 hours exactly before puck drop.
There you go, yeah.
Making sure I sit in the stall after the game for at least half an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I still get grief for it from all the team. Even like we were last out of the learn to play change room yesterday with my 5 year old.
Yeah.
And I think it's chip off the old block. The son was mucking around. I was quite keen to get out of there, but he just wanted to muck around. So yeah, nothing. I play with players that have much bigger superstitions than me. Nothing too massive.
Well, next time somebody gives you grief about sitting in the stall, you better tell them this firsthand. I know this for sure. Austin Matthews always has to be the last off when they're doing the warm-ups.
I'm not one of those. I could name some names about guys who like to stick around the last minute of the warm-up, make sure everybody's watching them shoot the puck.
Right, as you get older, your body and your fitness changes, right? What's been the biggest change in your fitness since you started playing as a teen? Now, I'm guessing back in the day, you know, turn up, hey, Mum, hey, Dad, we've only got like 5 minutes before the game starts type stuff. How much has your fitness changed in that sort of 25-plus years?
Honestly, when we were kids, we didn't do a whole lot of fitness work. I mean, we were on the ice. We weren't on the ice anywhere near as much as these kids are, but we did play a lot of other sports.
Yep.
I think a lot of the kids these days that are coming up are just playing ice hockey, and they're on the ice 5-6 times a week.
Yep.
And plus all their supplementary fitness. So I think the kids these days in general are a lot fitter. They're doing a lot more structured stuff. Like I said, we just did some general fitness work. There wasn't anything too specific. When you move into sort of rep teams and national teams, we started getting fitness programs. I remember our first Ice Blacks one was just a heavy lifting program, and everyone was talking about gains and how much they could bench press and squat and all that sort of stuff. It was a bit, I think we called 2008, that was called the bench press tour.
Right, yeah.
It kind of evolved and changed over the years as the game got a lot quicker. So you have to focus on that a lot more. And yeah, now it's, you know, getting a bit older, you just got to make sure that the body's right and you're dealing with niggles and you're doing the work to make sure that you can perform on the ice. And I mean, it's probably moved a lot more from heavy stuff to put more agility and flexibility and speed work and those kinds of things.
Now, I know Dr. Val's very keen on yoga, right, which I get because I'm about 20 years older than you are, so yeah, I'm definitely into that. But do you find that you have to do, like, after you finish playing a game, you've got to do a stretching routine, or do you just good to go?
I think the last couple of years I've focused on stretching and flexibility a lot more.
Yep.
Just with lockdown and being at home and doing your own workouts and stuff like that, and just getting older. I love a good stretch.
Yeah,
it's great. I've got a nice little routine locked down, and it's worked quite well so far. Some of the stretches are probably yoga-esque, but yep.
Let's not call it yoga for the sake of you not doing yoga.
I did one yoga session, I remember, and I wasn't very, very, very good at it, but that's okay.
All right, now, excuse the pun, but back in your heyday, were you ever tempted to go overseas and give it a crack?
No, not really. I wasn't when I was growing up, I wasn't ever really that. I was an okay player, but I was never a top player or a standout player. And that continues to this day. So I never really had any pressure from anyone else to sort of do it. You know, I had a couple of brothers that did it because they were, you know, right up there. But also, we were travelling a lot every year. I'd go away for a month with, you know, under-18s, under-20s, Ice Blacks, or whoever it was. So I kind of felt that was my little getaway each year in terms of travel. And, yeah, so not massively. I'm probably glad I did didn't actually, because I might have, you know, lost a little bit of passion being, you know, exposed to an environment for such a long period of time. But yeah, short answer, I wasn't really massively good enough to think I could go away. But no, it wasn't something that I had a massive overarching will to do.
Okay, so what does the 2023 NZIHL season look like for you?
Well, hopefully...
Win against the Admirals on Saturday would be a good start.
It would be. So, looking forward to being involved in the Marco again this season.
Yeah.
Great to see that they've got a full schedule in terms of playing all the teams.
Yeah.
Compared to last year, where it was only the Auckland teams with, you know, hangovers from COVID restrictions and whatnot. So, looking forward. I'm not sure whether I'll be involved the whole season or not, but happy to be a part of it this weekend and helping out the team. And then, nursing some bruises and suiting up for the Swarm the next day against the Marco. That'll be, we've done that for a couple of years now, so it's good fun.
Yeah. Now, at some stage, after all the appearances for the Swarm, you get the call-up for the Auckland Marco as a sort of foundation slash mentor player, right? Now, when I was trying to explain this to people overseas, they're like, what? So when the concept of the Marco was explained to you, like you can win the game, but you can't win, you can't get any points, you can't make the playoffs, what were your thoughts as a player, like before you kind of got the bigger picture and went, oh, okay, cool, this is going to develop our under 23 players, and you know, some of those players that are on the bench will actually get to have a game. Were you like, what? You what? This is going to work, but I don't know how the public's going to take it up or that type of stuff or not?
Oh, not really, because I know a big issue that the game has had over the last wee while is retaining those players out of school and, you know, moving into working and joining the workforce and moving out of home and all those sorts of things. So I thought it was a great concept. Some of the younger kids were struggling getting ice time in their respective National League teams. So, that's fundamentally the concept is to develop the junior players. And I'm a massive fan of that. So I obviously bringing players in and out, you can't consider yourself a fully fledged NZIHL team, hence why you can't win playoffs, etc. But and where it will move in the next few years, not exactly sure, but excited to see. I was a big fan of it, for sure.
Has it surprised you, the uptake from the public for the Marco? Because, I mean...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, obviously, the following online in terms of social media and the amount of merch that you see walking around the rink, I think it's great. I think it's almost... everyone's in Auckland's second team. There's been a bit of a, you know, tribal culture with Admirals and Swarm. You're one or the other, obviously. And I think it's just another option. And obviously the games, you know, players are interchanging between Marco, Swarm, Admirals, and you know, I think it's everybody's second team, and I think it's your first team.
Correct, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
It's been great.
It's my only team, to be fair. Right, that's what it is, right? So is it weird though, like this weekend for instance, right, you're playing against the Admirals for the Marco, and then next day you're playing for the Swarm against the Marco. You've probably played, like you and I, we've both played for dozens of different sports teams, but is it a bit weird sort of, oh, hang on, which change room should I go into, or hang on?
Oh, I'll tell you what, it was weirder last year when I played for the Marco against the Swarm. That was new. I'd never done that ever. So, I got a bit of grief from the guys, and there was a bit of chirping and a bit of contact. But I think everyone has bought into what they're there for, and it's to develop the junior players. And I think they're doing a great job. We get one game, but there's also national programs in place, which, you know, all the kids come with a certain level of skill and knowledge around the game.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad to be part of that. And, you know, if I'm dressing for them one night and then playing against them the next, I think it's great. I mean, the banter's fantastic.
Oh, I bet it is, you only get bits of it. The cool thing about it for me is you can actually hear kids up in the stands as I'm wandering around. who will actually say that they, when they get a little bit older, they want to play for the Marco, which is quite impressive. So you once said, over time it's important not to let the highs and lows of hockey impact other areas of your life, right? Don't let you as a who you are as a hockey player define who you are in areas of life that really matter. Do you think it's harder or easier for athletes these days compared to when you started? I mean, let's be honest, when you started, and we're going back, like sort of 20, so we'd be talking 2000, there wasn't an awful lot of thought put into, and I'm a like an 80s, 90 athlete, so there was even less, you know, thought put into athletes' well-being or their mental health or something. You just turned up, played the game, and everything else just didn't matter. Do you think that it's actually harder for today's athletes with some of the pressure they're under and some of the other sort of outside influences? I mean, like when we started off playing, for instance, I'm betting that you didn't have a social media account, and there certainly wasn't some social media manager following you around saying, hey, Andy, can we get a quote on the game? So do you think it's easier or harder?
I don't know. I guess it would, it kind of really depends. It's probably case by case, but generally I think anything's harder in today's society. You know, there's quite a lot of pressures, and you know, just, you know, there's not a lot of positive news out there. So whether people are using hockey as a bit of an escape from that, so then they try to get a bit more enjoyment, or whether it's the other way around, they go in and they let those external things sort of affect it. Because at the end of the day, in New Zealand, it's an amateur sport, and if you're not enjoying it, like, this is what I say to myself, and this is what I try to say to other people as well. I mean, if you're not enjoying it, then, you know, maybe there should be another option for you. It's got to be fun. And I think, you know, the parents need to understand that as well. You know, they shouldn't be placing too much expectations on their children. So yeah, it's a really difficult question to answer, to be honest. But I would say, over the years, with, to your point around social media, it certainly hasn't got any easier. You know, if you had a bad game, you know, chances are that the only people that saw it were the people in the ring. Now, you make a mistake and you've got you know, a few thousand people potentially watching you online on live stream, and then obviously all the razzmatazz with the other social media commenting on it. So yeah, I think it is probably harder for the kids coming through.
Now, many people look at hockey and turn up to games to watch the NZIHL teams expecting the Hanson brothers from Slapshot, Tom Wilson, or sort of Milan Lucic to sort of happen, right? Is it important for the game in New Zealand that we try to keep that part of hockey to a minimum, or to attract people, or do you just think it's just a necessary evil? I mean, like, let's be honest, we both watch league games where people have put big hits on one another, and one player sort of tapped the other one on the shoulder and sort of said, "Yeah, good hit," or that type of stuff. We're not talking putting people through the boards or that type of stuff. And like you say, I mean, it's amateur, it's not professional, and you can't expect a guy to turn up next week if you've pushed him through the boards and broken both of his collarbones and that type of stuff. That's probably a career ender. So do you think it's a necessary evil, that sort of aspect of hockey, or do you think for local hockey, New Zealand hockey, it should be kind of kept to a minimum?
Well, I think we align ourselves with the international game. The international game has said that fighting doesn't belong. Which is contradictory to, you know, well, not contradictory, but not in line with, you know, for example, the National Hockey League, where, you know, fighting is part and parcel of the game, albeit they are still trying to, I guess, reduce it as a bit of a marketing ploy. So does fighting have a part in our game? Look, you know, it's a physical sport. It is going to happen. I think what the key thing is that, you know, if people are going to do that sort of thing, they understand the consequences. So there are consequences for it in terms of suspensions. So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's always that argument around, you know, where it sort of polices the game. And I don't know whether we've got that kind of history here to, to argue with that. It's usually not really the case. So, yeah, I think, again, it's a tough one because it's, you know, you could argue it's part of the history of the sport, but I think we've made a pretty strong position in terms of we're aligning ourselves with the international game. It's more, we more want to emphasise the speed, the skill, the finesse, you know, the pretty plays and those sorts of things, rather than the biff of it and, you know, the way society's gone as well. I think, you know, we probably shouldn't be highlighting that part of the game.
Now, I've got a theory on people with NHL teams in New Zealand, right? That's either a moment in time. So for me, I support the Flames because, as I was
playing field hockey, I saw the Stanley Cup first time and the Flames were in the cup. I saw Mike Vernon playing goal and went, well, hey, look, that guy's that. Or people go to Canada or overseas and they go and see their first NHL team and go, boom, that's that. So the question is, who's your favourite NHL team and why that team?
I don't have one.
There you go. Yep.
To your point, you know, I was growing up, I'd watch a little bit on TV. We get a little bit of hockey on ESPN.
Yep.
So when I was younger, the Avalanche were strong for a while there. The Devils were strong for a while there. When I was younger, I used to sort of try to model my play on Scott Stevens.
There you go, yeah.
So I was going around, you know, trying to make big hits and those sorts of things. So to answer your question, I don't have one. I try not to be a bandwagon. There's something about seeing sports teams win after not winning for 45, 50 years. It happens every now and then in basketball,
yep.
Baseball. Will it happen this year in the NHL? I don't know. I think that would be really, really cool to see.
AJ Spiller will lose his breakfast if the Leafs win. That's all I'm going to say about it. So let's put it another way then. Right? So I'm going to Canada and I say to you, hey, Andy, I'm going to bring you back a jersey. Which team's it going to be?
Oh, there you go. That's kind of then making my favourite team. Probably a Kraken jersey or a Golden Knights, just because they're new and cool.
There you go.
They're both doing pretty well this year.
Okay, so who's the player in the NHL that you're currently keeping an eye on and why?
Probably, that's a tough one.
Yep.
I don't really get a whole lot of time to watch the games.
Come on, you do the sneaky YouTube thing like I do and watch the 7 minutes highlights if you know it's a good game and go, oh yeah, okay, cool, no worries.
Yeah, actually. I quite like Gabriel Velarde from the Kings.
Yeah, yep, okay.
So he's quite young.
Well, you won't be seeing much more of him this season, so that's, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, oh well, hey, what would the Andy Hay of today say to the Andy Hay and the under-18 New Zealand team if that kid came to him and said, I want to be in this game for another 20 years, what advice would you give me?
Play like every game is your last game.
There you go. Yep, okay. And then there's the stellar moment of your career. He says in mirth, right? The Auckland Marco play their first game in the NZIHL against the West Auckland Admirals. And apart from Barb Bialik's Herculean efforts and goal, some guy wearing the number 13 scores the first goal in Marco franchise history, spins around and then goes fins up motion on his helmet, right? What did that moment feel like? Because it's not very often you get to score a goal for a franchise that, who knows if the Marco are going to be around for another 40 years. If the competition spreads out to another 20 teams, let's hope so. What's it feel like to score a franchise first goal? And was the fins up motion planned beforehand? Or did you guys have a chat in the changing room and go, the second somebody manages to get one and go fins up, would you?
Anytime I score a goal, I'm not one to massively celebrate, but yeah. For some reason I felt like that one was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We were from memory losing 3-0 and yeah, the game were, only yep. had a few minutes to go, so I think it was just getting something on the board.
Yeah.
And, you know, we still at that time had a chance to possibly even tie or win the game. So there's probably that first part, and then I think I may have spoken about the Marco celebration with the fins up. I thought I'll try and get it on the camera, so I thought I'd do it from the corner all the way along the boards and stuff like that, thinking the camera might glance at me and then I don't want them to miss that part of it.
Yeah, so
the camera literally just follows me from the corner all along the boards, like, it was a pretty cool feeling. I'll probably wish it was one of the younger guys, but that's okay.
Hey, look, that's all right. That's what it is, yep. So part of the reasoning behind the creation of the Auckland Marco was to give under-23 age players an opportunity and an entry point in the NZIHL, right? Like we've spoken about, some of those players were missing out on an opportunity, which clearly has shown big dividends for the game, because all you got to do is look at the under-18s results and everything else. What's it like being a mentor player for the Marco? Like you said, because, you know, you play for them on the Saturday, you don't play for them on the Sunday, that type of stuff. What's it like being a mentor player for the Marco? And like you said, there's some of those kids that you've probably taught and learned to play, and now you're playing alongside them in the rink, and I bet you they're chirping your ear off. But what's that like?
Oh, it's great. I enjoy it. So I did do quite a bit of coaching when I was younger, and I don't, unfortunately, don't have as much time at the moment to do that, so I kind of see that as part of, you know, what I'm trying to get back into eventually.
Yep.
So yeah, no, it's great, you know, lot of new new friendships, you know, you get to know these kids that you're playing against regularly in the National League. You know, most of them are coming in, they're all really, really strong, skilled hockey players and confident, which is great.
Yep.
They're keen to learn, they will listen, they'll take it on board. You got a good coaching staff around you. No, I love it. It's great.
What was your first hockey, oh my God, I'm old moment?
I'm old.
Yeah, like maybe the kids have been playing some music in the changing rooms or something else like that, or they've said something and you've gone, what does that mean? Or
it was probably something technological, like there was some chat about something online or something, and I was just like, what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Thinking like, you're, and then I looked around and everyone kind of knew what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah.
So it's like,
there you go, cool.
That's probably it.
Living the dream. Right, now, as a mentor player, right, and like you said, you've coached a lot of these kids as well, do you let people play their game and then have a few suggestions afterwards? Will you say stuff to them on the ice, sort of, you know, cover that guy, do this, that type of stuff? In your opinion, what's the best way to pass some of that hay knowledge on to those younger players when you're out and about and actually as a mentor player as opposed to a coach? Because, I mean, people like AJ, you know, coach of the Marcos, he can do that from the bench. He can say, hey, look, do this, you need to be able to do this and everything else. For you, it's a little bit more complicated because you're actually out on the ice. So how do you do it?
It's just, you know, we don't have a whole, from the time we get to the rink to the time we leave the rink, there's not a whole lot of time. It's just a few introductions, a few quiet words. I'll usually be paired up with a young defense player, and so you've got a bit of time on the bench, and obviously on the ice is pretty quick as well. So it's really just, hey, look, you're obviously a good player. It might just be small things here or there. A lot of it quite often is just communication.
Yep.
So those who play with me know I'm just screaming out the whole time.
Really? I've never seen that. Yep.
The crowds are so big that you can't
oh, yeah, I've heard you. Yeah.
So it's usually, honestly, it's just you're a good hockey player. You've got good, you know, they're more skilled than me. They're better skaters than I am. So it's just like, it's more about sort of understanding the game as much as they can. So it's always going to be, you're a good player. We're not going to, you know, obviously change, you know, what kind of player you are or anything like that.
Yep.
It's more sort of, you know, small things here or there. A lot of it's communication, positioning, decision making, all those sorts of things. These kids are good.
Now, the game is looking strong at the moment. You've got the under-18 team winning recently. You've got the Ice Ferns winning recently, right? You've been appointed to a steering committee to aid in the growth and development of the NZIHL as it expands, right? And that committee is made up of management committee members, national coaching program personnel. So obviously with the Marco there, you've got, I'm going to say a pseudo expansion team.
Mm-hmm.
So the current state of the game, I guess, looks fairly good. Anytime you can put another team into a national hockey league is a good thing. Ultimately, without giving away the master plan for the committee, right?
Mm.
If I said in Hayes world,
yep,
right, unlimited budget, unlimited personnel, what does it look like? You know, I'll just throw it out there. Are we looking at a 10-team competition with imports coming in all the time? Are we looking at coaches coming down from sort of, and I know that we've been lucky enough to have some of the American coaches come down, but are we looking at ex-NHL players and maybe some Swedes and that type of stuff to do coaching camps? Is that the type of thing you're discussing with that committee?
Well, I think, from my personal perspective, I think obviously a league that's expanding in terms of the number of teams is doing the right thing. So bringing the Marco in a couple of years ago.
Yep.
I know that, you know, there are discussions around Wellington and what's happening there. And
yep,
I think it would be awesome to see a team from that region. They've got a lot of inline hockey talent, and it's, you know, obviously supplementing that would, you know, they'd potentially be a strong team in the league.
Yeah.
And then you could start looking at conferences. You know, do you have a North Island, South Island conference? Longer term, you know, obviously we need to get ice rinks in these larger centres.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, should be a big focus for the future. Working closer with Australia.
Yep.
We've we're doing good things at the moment in terms of Trans-Tasman competition. Whether there's any sort of overlap between, I know a while ago we had a, it was called Trans-Tasman Champions League, I think it was called, and we had the top two teams from each league play each other, and that was great. And obviously we've got the regular series with Australia now, which is positive as well. Number of teams, number of games, I'm not sure. Obviously more teams, more games would be great. And I think we just need to keep trying to, you know, as much as we can, perfect the model that we have in terms of the product on the ice, the number of spectators, you know, the number of imports, balancing the number of imports with developing local players. I think we're in the right direction. So yeah, it's all looking positive, and yeah, looking forward to getting more involved in that aspect of the game.
Now, I completely understand if you can't comment on this at all, so just say no comment, right? But I'm going to say this as a Marcos fan, right? So if the NZIHL does expand, then surely the Marcos got to be one of the first cabs off the rank to lead that expansion. I mean, they're already there, they've already got the framework and everything else. But like you say, it would be really good if Wellington could have a team, or somebody else could have a team. So do you think that that's a possibility with inside the next, let's say, 5 to 7 years, that the league looks to expand a little bit further than even as it is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
I think, obviously, you know, it was a big step in the right direction bringing them in. Obviously, there was a focus on development. I mean, over time, potentially that could change to, okay, how do we transition this development team into a fully fledged competing National League team? And it's about developing players. And if you have, you keep developing and maintaining your junior players, you're going to have enough quality in Auckland alone to sustain three teams.
Yeah.
So they're doing the right things now to set that up for the future. So, yeah, you're right. I think that would be great to see. And then, you know, potentially that little conference idea could come into play.
Yeah. And there'd definitely be, there has to be something like the Auckland Cup being played for there, or the Tamaki Makaurau Cup being played for there, doesn't there? The Storm Admiral and the Marco.
But Swarm.
Yeah, hang on. Yeah, don't forget who you're playing with on Saturday. That's all I'm saying, right? Right, so, and you knew it was going to come up, right? But when is it time to hang up the skates and let the gloves dry for Andy Hay, right? Now, I don't need to know, but do you, in your mind, have you got a date? Have you got a date set? Do you have an age limit? Are you taking it game by game? Is it like, look, you know what? If I get on the ice, I mean, I know you and I know one another, so it'd be fair to say that if you're playing for the Swarm, you're going to go the full season. That is what it is.
You hope so.
Yeah. But, you know, are you going to get to a stage where you sort of go, actually, you know what? I haven't got the passion for it anymore. What's the sort of going to be the coin flip moment? And you're like, that's me, I'm done. My gloves are hanging up.
Probably when I can't contribute to the on-ice success.
Yep.
I think if I just started becoming a passenger in the team, that's probably when I'd be honest with myself and say, yeah, I'm probably not, I don't want to sit on the bench and, you know, at the behest of taking, you know, someone else's spot.
Yep.
So that would probably be it for me. I don't feel like I'm quite there yet.
No.
That would probably be it, where I'm just sitting there going, maybe I should, you know, I'm not just going to stop playing and get rid of it. You know, I'll certainly stay involved somehow, whether that's in management or admin or coaching or development or something like that. So that would probably be the trigger moment for me. But as it is, I'm, you know, still enjoying it. And we've still got things that we want to achieve, so maybe if we achieve those, we'll re-evaluate and see where we get to. But for now, just enjoying, like you say, taking it a game at a time.
What will life look for you like after your playing career? Because, I mean, you say it's only a hobby and, you know, we're only amateurs and everything else, but for Andy Hay, the person, ice hockey and Andy Hay are almost sort of synonymous with one another. You know, it's like me and policing type stuff, right? So, are you interested in coaching? Do you think you'll manage? Or will you be doing that old sort of Michael Jordan thing of sitting up in the stand, as he said to his son once, and sitting, he said, what I want to do is sit there with a bucket of popcorn, see the latest star in the NBA slam dunk something. He said, have a big pot belly, turn around to my son and say, you know what, my day, I could have taken him. Or do you think you'll be like more hands-on and getting involved and doing stuff and that type of stuff?
I've got a couple of sons now, so I'm hoping that they'll... you know, not pushing them too hard. They've you know, obviously the 4-month-old's not on skates yet.
But,
The 5-year-old, he's certainly taken to it and enjoying it and just, you know, you want to go, yeah, I love it, Dad, I want to get going. It's like fantastic. I'm not going to push him to stay on it. So probably my first focus will be obviously spending more time with family. And then, you know, if they want to get into hockey and develop through that, then I may just get involved in terms of coaching them or, you know, maybe coaching junior teams, or we'll see. It's been a while since I've coached, so I need to refresh myself. But coaching, management, administration, I'm not exactly sure, but I will stay involved. I'm not exactly sure what capacity. We'll see, time will tell. But I enjoy coaching. I enjoy thinking about the game, talking about the game. So we'll see.
You see some players and they just walk away from the game and, you know, literally they walk out of the stalls and that's their last game and they're done. And you see them on the odd occasion come up in the stands and that's about it. That doesn't interest you at all? You think you've actually got to, like you say, you're actively involved anyway. If your sons are playing anyway, then you're going to be involved anyway. You're that type of person, I think. You're not going to be able to say, no, I can't. is it tempting sometimes just to sort of go up into the stands, pull your cap down so nobody knows who you are and sort of go from there? I mean, we're lucky in the fact that, you know, people know one another in the ice hockey community here, but it's something that a lot of those pro players overseas can't do. They can't sit up in the stands and actually, like you said, enjoy the game because, you know, they've got to have a selfie with somebody or somebody says, oh, you were crap in your last game. Yeah, is it something you've ever just sort of wished you could do? Or you just, because of the sort of, I don't know, because it's not a huge sport in New Zealand, you can get away doing that anyway.
That's fine. I went to the Ice Packs game though and knew who I was, so honestly it's not going to be a problem at all, I think. I sat there, watched the Ice Packs game with my son and wife, and you know, we had a great time. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. I'm not entirely sure, but
When you watch the Ice Blacks or when you watch the Swarm and you're not playing because you're injured or something, what type of spectator would you describe yourself as? Because, I mean, you're vocal out on the ice and you're fairly passionate out on the ice. Do you carry that passion on as a spectator or do you just sort of
I don't sit there screaming at the TV or anything. Yeah. It's usually a bit more internal.
Like,
I'm not one of those spectators, you know, get up and jump around if we score and then yell if we, like, I try to keep a little bit of an even keel and I probably do the same thing when I'm watching, you know, if I'm watching a game that on TV, it's kind of like, keep my thoughts to myself.
Mark Graham, the Warriors coach, once said to me, here's a tip. He said, because you seem like a little bit like me. I'm like, what's that? He said, take an entire packet of gum, put it in your mouth and chew it. And he said, you won't be able to say anything. He said, you'll just wander around in circles. I was like, fair enough. So if you want to follow Andy and all the clubs that he plays for, he only plays for two, let's be honest, the Marco and the Swarm. It's Botany Swarm on Facebook and Insta. It's the Auckland Marco on Facebook and Insta. The NZIHL site, you can go to the AIHA.org for NZIHL tickets. Just as a sort of last question, who's a couple of players that we maybe should be looking out for this season? Or should I rephrase it and say, who's a couple of players that you should be looking out for this season?
That I should be looking out for? From our perspective, we've got a couple, you know, the Marco's always got lots of young, good, promising guys coming through. So anyone in the Marco I would be watching out for because, you know, they're skilled hockey players, they're quick, they're fast, and they're the goods. And they'll be the goods for the game for the next 10, 15 years, hopefully.
Yep.
From Swarm's perspective, we've got a couple of new additions to our roster. Jackson Fontaine, who's a Marco alumni, is joining the cause. So I think he'll be one to look out for. He's an exciting young talent.
Yep.
Anyone else from Swarm? I think Luke Simon.
Right.
Again, another Marco alumni, and I think he's prepping up for a big year.
And just so that I can ready for this, because this is just dad joke after dad joke, just so I can poke a stick at the sort of the Swarm's nest here, if I said to you who's going to win the entire thing this year?
Oh, hockey will be the winner on the day, Brian.
There you go, right. So, Andy Hay, completely uncommittal as normal. Andy, thanks very much. It's been an awesome chat with you. Make sure you get along and watch the games this season. Ice hockey could do with your support in New Zealand. And make sure that you get along this Saturday to see the Marco play the West Auckland Admirals. And maybe you might even see Andy Hay go fins up again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks for listening. But please do Constable Brian and I a favour and be sure to subscribe
so you don't miss out on the next Coppuccino podcast. Real people, real stories.